And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
And welcome to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar here with Jesse Von Rood and Ryan Brown. Going to be joining us here for Grapple Talk tonight. It's the post-RCCW edition of Grapple Talk. We just got done eating pizza not too long ago. We've also been talking about wrestling for like 2 hours and shooting on shit. But we're not going to use any of that because we want to keep our jobs.
So. This is a very professional podcast, really, you know.
Professional.
Professional, yeah.
Professional enough to have me here.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We just got done with RCCW's... Single Day Mile, you know, and Mayhem.
Fuck those guys. What do you guys think of the show? I want the real reaction from Ryan Brown. I don't give a shit what those owners say. I want to know what you think.
Wow.
You're never working a show again, man. Tell
me
the honesty.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I thought this was your last show, man. Like, you're done.
I'm not, like, I'm done, like, as of until August, and I don't know what happens after that. So it could be my last show.
So why are you done? Like, first off, we know.
We know. Like, tell the audience what's going on.
Graduating college and decided to, like, actually, you know, do something with my career on, like, you know, other hosts that aren't here right now.
Wow.
And, yeah, I shot him,
so,
Riley.
So what are you doing then?
I am working at a baseball stadium creating the videos for their new big screen that they're putting up in the stadium.
That's cool.
Cool. Yeah. So you're kind of like the guinea pig for this experience.
Yeah. Well, if I screw up, they're like, well, this is what happens when we get these things.
Well, probably like half the people that are listening to this podcast have gotten their videos made from Ryan Brown.
Is that the majority of the Grapple
there
Talk?
There are definitely majority of the listeners are fucking wrestlers.
What's our like listening numbers?
I don't know. I haven't checked lately.
Like,
probably 7 million.
No, we go on like the website and they got the download part. You know, the Podbean. And it's like 24.
24.
I think it's the same 24 people.
But to be fair, that's not like iTunes. That's like from Podbean.
I don't even know who.
Like, who the fuck downloads from Podbean? Let's be honest.
I don't know.
Yeah,
they're not a sponsor on the show. We have to pay 24 to get on Podbean.
24 people do. So
apparently,
there's that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean.
Do we get the numbers for iTunes, or how do we get the numbers?
There's no numbers.
Do you
go on there and they base the popularity of each episode relative to your other episodes.
Mm.
So they don't use like a number system; they use like a graph system. So if you have one episode that's really popular,
what's the graph based on?
I don't know. And numbers?
It has to be.
Yeah, but it's relative. Number system.
But there's no numbers. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, how does like the Art of Wrestling know that it's like a number one type of podcast? Like it does. It has to know something.
Apple based knows. On downloads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cabana
knows.
Has to know his numbers at
well,
that point.
Like,
I don't think Cabana knows.
Guys, actually, they were like, hey, we're one of the highest, and they always say like the number of downloads they have per episode.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Who does?
The Bruce Pritchard Show.
Okay.
Some of the rest of it.
No,
I
don't
know. If you're not listening to that, you should.
I don't listen to much right now.
Oh, it's good. It's fucking really good.
Yeah, I'm in finals week virtually, so.
Guys, RCCW.
Mm-hmm.
For real, what did you think, Ryan Brown?
I liked it.
You're lying.
I'm looking you in the eye and telling you I liked it.
Whoa, deja vu.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan Brown really doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. He's pretty honest.
Yeah. You thought it was a good show overall?
I thought it was a good show, yeah. Like, there's something. It's like every show.
What was, like, the best part? Like, the Cinco de Ducho celebration, probably?
I can pick, like, three of them out. Like, that's one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I thought. But seriously, you thought it was good?
I thought it was good, yeah. Nice. Your celebration was good. I thought Sensation, Devlin Kane was actually a pretty good match.
Mm-hmm.
I actually enjoyed the double super kick to try and just knock him out and then just passing out.
Like, yeah.
I'm like, that works.
A lot of
well,
people
you hit him with that
back.
Clothesline. That was a really good
yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah, just that boom. Yeah, right. Like I could hear somebody behind me just going, ow, that one hit. So that's always what you want.
Right.
I thought that tag team match went – I liked the tag team match itself, like the match itself.
Okay.
Like you said, it had a really cool spot in it with the magic powder.
Yeah, the powder spout was one of the weirdest ones I've ever seen.
I was confused, but I didn't watch the whole match. I watched like half of it.
Well, let's wait to.
Okay, so Jack Spade brings out the powder. But then basically...
Like classic, like heel, like
yep,
in your face. So.
But then like one guy would try to stop and another guy would try to stop another one. Another
not even
one.
Stop him, so, like somebody yelled, I want that. So they're fighting over who gets it.
So they're all fighting over it. And then Colin Brooks kicks it. And then it hits everyone in the eyes.
Oh,
so
now
you
I get it.
Go into that like blind spot, and then you go into the big thing with every 6-man match or whatever, where everyone hits
water
moves.
Ball shit.
Yeah,
except they're hitting it on their own
partners.
Tag team partners.
Because you can't see.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
That was creative. Pretty good. So that was a really interesting spot. So that's basically what kind of cost the Dojo Boys the match, like, later on. Because they almost hit each other.
Right.
And then that's when, you know, Sour Skittles got the victory.
Hmm. Yeah.
Was it cool seeing Sean Priest in lacrosse?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was actually a good spot, too.
Yeah. He looked like a star.
He
yeah.
came up with the rookies from Milwaukee. Fucking Onyx and Aesop Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And right before the show, he just got pulled aside. It's like, hey, man, you want to work? And it's like, now all of a sudden he's in an angle. You know, it's like, how weird
and
is that?
The thing is, like, if you give a guy like that a chance to run, he's going to run.
Yeah.
He's going to run so far.
And yeah.
He's so good.
Here's a crazy thing, right?
So he instantly can be like a top. He can be like a top heel.
He's a top guy.
Lacrosse,
yeah. He's a top guy. Period. It doesn't matter what city you're in.
Oh yeah, right.
Priest is
good. But you also what you do with that top guy is like you elevate Morbid Angel and Jason Michaels,
right?
By association, because they came off like $1 million.
Can we talk about something else? Somebody else did tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Like Aesop Michaels,
Mitchell.
I'm sorry, dude, if you're listening at home. He virtually like I've. Seen a lot of guys like not really do much during intermission. He got himself booked in the future on intermission because I watched him just like work with the, you know, the kids in the crowd just like in character, just going nuts. We both did. And we were just both laughing at it. Like, and thing is, like I looked over, one of the promoters is sitting there laughing, having a good time watching him do this. And that's exactly how you get noticed by a promoter.
Yeah, because it's very rare that you see guys stay in character during intermission.
Well, half the time, like guys only want to come out during intermission.
Yeah.
So if you come out during like intermission before a show in character like that, and like just actually like draw attention to yourself,
it's a great way to get noticed. Like we talked about this, and I'm going to call it Ace Rob. We talked about this when we did the Water City WrestleCon, and it was like a lot of people want to work for ACW too. Great promotion. I mean, they just fucking ran WrestleCon, which they had, like, what, like fucking 900 people there?
Yeah.
Legit. And they had this big-ass battle royale where anybody and everybody could be in it, and it's like, you want to make your name known? Like, you want to be a guy that, you know, Dylan and Weimer and fucking Colucci look at to book later on? You go out there an hour before the show starts, and you make your rounds with all these people, so when that battle royale comes on, you come out there, and people love you, and it's like...
Aesop virtually did that during
intermission. Exactly. So now people know Aesop because he's out there. Even if he's being a heel, people are like, this fucking guy. Like, I know this guy outside of just those matches.
And now the fun thing is, like, lacrosse's fans is solely based around those kids. Most of the people that are there are either kids or the parents that brought the kids.
Right.
So now all of a sudden your kids hate this guy. You're going to keep coming – or you're going to keep bringing this guy back because of that. And because it's a kid-centric show, which is fine. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of pro wrestling is and should be.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though, like, lately the crowd from, like, RCCW has kind of been changing. Like, you and me were kind of discussing it before the show started. It's, you start seeing more of, like, a hipster wrestling crowd.
Which is cool.
Lacrosse, which is good, because that's kind of like, they're the ones who are going to spend the money at these shows. You know, the guys wearing the Bullet Club t-shirts, the guys wearing the metal t-shirts, stuff like that, the old school wrestling t-shirts. That's what you kind of want because they're going to spend the money.
Yeah, it's good for the boys. It's the extra $20 in their pockets from the t-shirt that they just sold.
And stuff. Yeah, because like Onyx Andretti came downstairs. And I mean, he sold one t-shirt, but I mean, this dude's a rookie. You know, he's 17 years old and dude sold a t-shirt in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
In his first year, he made more than me and Jesse did in our first 2 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We didn't have t-shirts.
That's great.
We should have had t-shirts.
By the way, man, Onyx had one sick fucking knee in the middle of that match. Oh my God. I popped downstairs. I was watching it backstage. Everybody popped. All the boys were watching in the back and he hit Aesop with the knee. Like it was one of those... I don't remember exactly how it was set up.
No, like Aesop's got this move where he hits a guy with a knee.
It wasn't that move.
Are you sure it wasn't that?
No, it was just like a regular knee.
Huh.
Like a regular knee to the face.
Like a
random knee to the face. After that, he did the whole neck breaker spot where he threw him off his shoulder.
That spot.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that spot.
It was a good spot. It was fucking nice. Dude, 17.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was thinking this. It's like, it's kind of crazy like looking at like, three major training schools on that side of the state. There's nothing bad coming out of any single one of them right now. Like everything coming out of Milwaukee right now is like heads
straight
and shoulders.
Fire.
Yeah, just like great.
Aesop's part of that program.
Yeah.
Onyx is part of that program. Sierra's part of that program.
Yeah,
and Sierra's part of that program.
Yeah, Sierra's one I think is going to go fairly far too.
Mm-hmm.
But then like Dojo of Pain, never really much question. There's no question about it because he threads out the bad workers and sends them out of his camp. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the ACW camp, like I spent some time there with some of those guys. There's some good guys coming out of that camp too.
Yeah, those guys, like, some of those guys worked at the WrestleCon.
Yeah. I thought they did a pretty good job in that Royal, yeah. Especially, you know, first time being out there. Now all of a sudden you're out in front of 900 people. Like, I'm pretty proud of those kids in that aspect that they didn't buckle under that pressure.
Or shit themselves.
Or shit their pants.
I would like to see that.
That would have been terrible.
Yeah. Funny to see that in a commentary.
Well, you know, gimmick for life. You're the kid who shit his pants.
Ryan Brown, you know what you are? You're a great devil's advocate because I feel like you're going to be the opposite of what I'm going to say. But I want to talk about national wrestling because it's getting late. We've been talking about local wrestling for the past 2 hours.
Yep.
I want to talk about Roman Reigns right now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to ask you about Roman Reigns.
What part?
This dude got his ass whooped by Braun Strowman at the last show.
I was surprised.
At the Payback show, right?
Was it
Payback or was it Raw?
Payback.
Payback.
Yeah.
And they were this guy was getting his ass beat and they were chanting, "You deserve it," to Roman Reigns. How can you not turn this guy heel?
I think Triple H's tweet a couple months, was it like 2 months ago or a month ago, kind of sums it up. I think he said something along the lines of, "I don't need to turn him. You guys are already booing him."
You think it's that simple?
I think it's that simple.
Really?
Yeah. It's the Cena effect.
Right.
It's whatever the crowd perceives him to be today.
Do you think if they turned Roman heel for 6 months that he could become an extremely over babyface after a heel turn?
I don't know because like nobody's really ever given in to the crowd like that. So, like, if you give in to the crowd like that, what's going to happen?
I don't know. That's, like, the thing. Is like
because they're just going to turn on him no matter what. I think they just want to turn on him because he doesn't have, like, the indie experience that, like, Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose have. Right. And I think that's why they turned on him instead of the other two as
you
much.
You almost feel bad for the guy.
To a degree, yeah. He's a good worker.
No, he's a great worker.
He's great.
Yeah, he's probably top five in that company in that spot.
Hands down. Like, he doesn't, like, if you just sit there and watch his match without, like, walking in with a predisposed position, it's a good match.
Which is crazy to think about because every time you see Roman Reigns come out now, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like to the point now where it's like, you know, I think we all here obviously appreciate good wrestling. But, I mean, I feel like I almost started to get influenced by, like, you know, the masses because I'm almost like, I feel like I should, like, not like him because nobody likes this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's hard to go into a match.
Well, they do the same thing to, like, Braun Strowman for a while, too. Like, you know, it's not just, like, heel heat he's getting to a degree. It's just like, oh, you're a big guy. Like, I think a lot of people in that crowd follow, but some people in that crowd, I think, are booing him just because of the fact that he hasn't spent time on the indies. Because that's who they do it to. They don't do it to guys who are on the indies or, like, spent excessive time on the indies.
Kevin Owens gets booed. Kevin Owens is good at what he does.
Kevin Owens is working Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that's true.
And that crowd loved Jericho so much.
Jericho might have had one of his best runs of all time.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah, which is kind of crazy because, like, every time he has a run,
it's the best.
You're like, that's the best run he's ever had.
Yeah, how does he keep topping himself at this age?
I don't know. He's so smart. And
I think
he
gets
smarter.
He
knows how to keep himself relevant, and he knows that it's not about him.
Yeah. Like, physically, like, he's not athletically what he was in 2002.
No.
Because that's, like, the peak of Jericho, probably, in terms of athleticism.
I agree.
But, like, he has gotten incredibly smart. Like, that 2008 run was, like, special.
Yeah.
Like, with him and Michaels, when he punched Michaels' wife in the face.
Yeah, that whole feud was amazing.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
But another guy in the same boat, like, I'd listen to a podcast driving up here because that's what we do, apparently.
Yeah, driving down here.
Driving down here. It feels like up. I don't know why.
Unbelievable.
Matt Hardy is the same type of guy as Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a guy who, like, finds weird ways to make himself relevant. Like,
right.
This whole thing right now. Like, he won't even do a regular interview unless he's broken Matt Hardy.
What podcast did you listen to?
Well, I was listening to the Capanna podcast with Jeff Hardy, and Jeff's like, yeah, he won't do it.
Yeah, he just broke the kayfabe. Yeah.
Colt's like, I tried to get him on here, and he wouldn't do it unless he was broken Matt Hardy. And then, like, probably 6 months ago, I listened to one with Jericho. He brought in broken Matt Hardy.
Yep.
And, like, he just had to sit there and deal with broken Matt Hardy the whole time and being in character. And I'm like, I don't know if I should be upset because I'm getting worked right now or if I should be happy because this is pretty fun to listen to.
Well, yeah,
because,
like, 2 weeks ago, Taz did one of his, you know, daily shows, and he was like, yeah, I mean, when you, like, I had Matt on, and, like, when I tried bringing him on, like, he, before the break, he's like, hey, man, I just let you know, I'm going to do this whole thing in character. Like, otherwise, I'm not doing it. I was just like, oh, shit.
I need to add in, since I'm watching, like, all the old pay-per-views, and I think Taz is my girlfriend's favorite color commentary, just because, like, of the stupid things he says on purpose, just to make himself
laugh. Oh, he was a good color commentary.
He's so good at it. Yeah, he just says all these goofy things. It's like, I think Booker T tried to emulate him, but Booker went so far off to left field.
Hey, listen, Booker T has one thing that Taz didn't have. Joey Numbers.
Joey Numbers?
Joey Numbers, guys.
Do you remember we were watching TNA that one time, and Booker T is calling, and Scott Steiner are trying to call a James Storm match.
Yeah.
And all Booker T is doing this entire time is, Billy Bob, blah, 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 the whole time. And here's Scott Steiner with his head down just laughing the entire time as he's doing his glasses. He just throws his glasses in front of him, just done.
He basically took off his headset and just went.
Yeah, really?
Like getting him, he broke him.
Yeah,
literally
he did.
He broke Scott Steiner.
God damn! Yeah. TNA was once a glorified fucking NAW show.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, the best part about that was I think that was the same show Scott Steiner was doing announcing, like ring announcing for, and he just didn't. He didn't.
Was this during like Steiner Mania when he was fucking hot as shit?
This is when the main event, main event Mafia took over the show.
This
for
when TNA just didn't give a shit and they're like just. Give Steiner as much spotlight as possible. Yeah,
this was before Hogan came in.
It was before Hogan came in?
Yeah. So this was probably 09?
Yeah.
10,
so like,
somewhere in there?
So like the stable of like, what, Nash, Sting, Kurt Angle, Booker T, and Steiner took over Impact for a night.
Yeah.
So like Steiner, though, is standing out there and like, here comes Petey Williams. He's like, from Canada. I'd like to talk to Barack Obama for a second about Canada. I just want you to build a wall keeping those damn Canadians out.
God.
Yeah.
Just entire time.
If you were to say that, I'd be like, man, that's a shitty promo. But with Scott Steiner says it, I'm like, that's a great promo.
It's great. Like, you know, here comes Bubba Ray Dudley or the Dudleyvilles. He looks at it, he's like, from Donutville. Because he just hates Bubba Ray for whatever reason.
Stupid, but it's great.
But it's kind of crazy. Like, did you see that Scott Steiner's back on Impact now?
Yeah, I saw it. It was like,
so are you a fan of Impact now?
I always like want them to do well.
Scott Steiner, like, and they, top three of all time for you?
For promos.
Okay,
for
so promos. Promo top three.
For like,
promo
if top I, if three. I, if I want to watch.
You make, give me a promo top three right
if
now.
If I want to, like, promo, in terms of promo, like, comedy, just, like, want to watch and have some fun laughing at this promo.
Now, we're not talking, like, all-time classic promo.
No, we're not
guys.
Talking classic.
Your favorite promo guy.
Your favorite. Yeah. So, we're not saying, like, okay, dude, like, you gotta fucking go through the annals of wrestling history. Like, if you could pick three guys.
Annals instead of
I have to fit anal into every show at least once. If you can pick three guys.
Tight fit.
That your favorites.
Three guys that are like that make
your
me laugh.
Favorites. No, or just your favorites. Oh, they like guys. Watching promos.
Yeah. Oh, you put me on the spot.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, I do like a good Miz promo at times.
Nice.
So you gotta throw that in there. I'm trying to think like
you only got
on
one
the spot
because you said Scott Steiner.
Well, that's like comedy promo, like not like
so you wouldn't even throw him in there.
No, I wouldn't.
Really?
No.
So he's a top three comedy
promo.
Top three comedy promo guys are going to be like Steiner, Ryback, and...
Ryback.
We'll
you
find
the Ryback in
yeah.
there?
Have you listened to Ryback and not laughed?
Fucking ridiculous.
What, like the soup sexual assault thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pour it down your singlet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, I have a tie now, like, for the comedy one.
Yeah.
Because it's between... Rusev puts out some great ones.
Oh, he's just good.
But then again, Braun Strowman is saying some ridiculously stupid things, and it's great. Yeah. Like, he's just like, you're garbage. Or Roman Reigns is garbage, and now you are. And he just throws the guy in there. It's just like, that was just so stupid. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Or like when Roman Reigns is limping towards the ambulance at the end of Payback. I'm not finished with you
I'm not finished with you yet.
I got my top three.
Okay. Those are like current guys you like listening to?
This is my favorite all time.
Okay.
I'm going to put Rock in there. You want to put Rock in there?
Well, you can put Rock in there.
Because I grew up on Rock.
Okay.
I can't not put Rock on there. You know what else I'm going to put on there? I'm gonna do it. I'm putting CM Punk on there.
Okay.
He's powerful. I liked it.
Yeah.
Third, I might throw Jericho on there, I think. I really might. I really enjoyed Jericho.
It's hard not to.
I've also, like, really lately, honestly, I've told Jesse this before, mm-hmm. I really like all of anything that Triple H does lately.
You know, I was just thinking, like, that promo he did to build up WrestleMania where, like, he first came back and said, I'm just done with this.
Right.
You know, I'm done being the creator. I thought that was one of his best promos of all time.
Yeah, I think that's why he was so... I think we talked about that even recently, because, like, I think I was like, how can you argue against Triple H being one of the greatest on the mic ever? But I think it was during that stretch where he had, like, fucking just, like, knocked out of the park with promos. Like,
but at the same time, though, it's like, there's a part of me with Triple H when it comes to his presentation. When it comes to these big builds, he always seems cooler than the other guy.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that's suffered with this one is Rollins is the guy who should be looking for the redemption. He's a young hot star.
But do you think like Triple H is like he's almost like challenging Rollins and stuff to the plate and be like, outdo me? Or do you think he needs to just pull the reins back and let him have his own shit?
Maybe pull the reins back backstage, but like outdo me type of thing in kayfabe. Yeah, I don't even think Rollins did that.
On top of that, though, like you look at Triple H, the era that his promos come from, it's the Attitude Era, like where everybody's trying to be cooler than, you know, their opponent.
Yeah.
Like, look at The Rock. That's what he's trying to do.
Shit on everybody.
Yeah, but shit here's on
the
everybody. Crazy
thing, though, about The Rock, though, is like even when he was shitting on people, he was getting those people over.
Yeah, to a degree. But then, like, at the same time,
I mean, the fucking hamburger?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I mean, like, early Rock was mean and just, like, didn't really get anybody over in terms of, like, that type of way.
Yeah, but he was also coming off fucking fans telling him to fucking die.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's virtually, like, 98, 99 when Triple H is, like,
goddamn piece of trash.
When Triple H is redeveloping that character, that's when, you know, he developed the Triple H character, and that's how he learned how to talk like that.
Well, and it's just like people, to me, it's similar to like, it's hard to compare guys like Rock and Triple H because like how Rock would do promos and how he you know, whatever himself, it was totally different. It's like how people try to compare Bray Wyatt and Undertaker because they have these two campy, weird horror styles, but they're two totally different gimmicks. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Two different people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's hard to compare both of those regardless of,
you
know, you can compare methodology when it comes to what the promo's supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's not wrong.
I mean, like the way they do it, like The Rock, like maybe he's more emotionally charged when he does his promos. His promos come from emotions, whereas Triple H is a student of the game. There's no doubt about that. And his promos are coming from the past, virtually, like built off of that.
They're very story-based.
Yes.
He's very good about connecting all the dots in this promo to get the story across.
Yep.
If I had to do my top three that I love listening to, no matter what, Austin.
Yeah.
Flair.
Yeah, that's...
Rey Mysterio.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Stop.
Seriously, I love Rey.
No, you don't.
Dude,
have for you Eddie.
For Eddie.
For Eddie.
But no, like...
Stop.
Hugh Batista would be in there, too.
Hugh Batista's great.
Yeah.
Blue Tisa is great.
Yeah. Even before Blue Tisa.
No, way before Blue Tisa.
Yeah, even like back then, he's just great because he's just a nut job. Mm-hmm. He's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have to add Austin in there.
Yeah, Austin.
That's tough.
Like even nowadays, his promos like on his podcast are just great. Just like him being him.
Yeah.
Like you can like he tells a story so like vividly of just like a random everyday occurrence, but you have to listen because like everything the way he talks, he leaves it on the edge where you have to know what's happening next. But you already know he just, you know, he farted. That's the whole story, is he farted. Like, he told the story. Yeah, he told the story of he was at the gym. And he didn't want to fart in front of somebody's face. So he's like, I looked left. I looked right. Coast is clear. But hold on. Here comes this sweet young thing walking behind me, and I can't let it go in front of her. So I tucked that thing in, and I held it for another 30 minutes.
This is great. It's great stuff.
Hey, this is Porn Stash Peter Schwanz, and you're listening to Grapple Talk. Anyone who listens to this gets a free mustache ride. What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about,
Shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest's up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
We talked about this during our last road trip.
Yeah.
Top five.
Top five?
Everything.
Of what I like for wrestlers?
Everything.
Everything.
Like, if you could make a Mount Rushmore plus one of wrestlers ever. So, I mean, what you consider.
Yeah,
like,
what guys, you my like, favorite guys.
But, like, okay. when we talked about it, we valued everything. So, like, for example, we put Hogan in there.
Yeah, because you have to value.
Like, I personally wouldn't put Hogan. Like, if my personal top five, I wouldn't put Hogan in. But when we look at, like, drawing, work rate, you know, the promo skills, we put Hogan in there. Like, who would you do for your top five? I'm curious.
I'm doing the math.
Overall.
Yeah, I'm doing all the math time. Right now. So, Bruno Hogan.
Well, it's like preview.
Oh, geez. There's, like, enough guys that it goes over the five right now.
Yeah, obviously. That's why Hogan, it's tough.
Hogan's in there.
Hogan has to be in there.
Hogan revolutionizes the company.
Right.
I want to throw Bruno in there because Bruno held that company together
like
for
10 years.
20, it felt like, but yeah 10 years.
Yeah, it was over the course of like 2 decades.
Yeah. So Bruno definitely belongs in there. I don't know how to split up Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
I think we ended up deciding for Shawn.
Yeah.
I think Shawn.
Storytelling.
Like, I think depending on, like, if you were to do this, like, you know, late 90s to early 2000s, you'd probably say Brett. But I think as time's gone on, maybe Shawn's taken that spot.
Probably because you're...
Yeah, longevity.
Longevity. Well, longevity question, you always got to kind of look at it because, like, Hart started probably mid-70s.
Yeah, but Stampede. I mean, but longevity, like, on top.
But probably then because it'd be Hart's would have been 91?
Is it 91 or 92?
I would say like 91 to about
2000.
Like 97 if you go WWE.
Yeah.
And
97
then. Maybe 99.
But his WCW stuff was kind of forgetful.
Are we just talking WWE or are we talking WCW
everything.
As well?
Everything.
Well, then the obvious, instead of throwing those two in there, you obviously got to start looking at like Flair. You got to throw Flair in there.
Those three right there. Yeah.
Cena.
Really?
Yeah. Why not? He's held that. He's held the top spot of that company since 2005.
I can't remember who was ours.
Basically 2000.
Five.
Three. We threw. I think
well, not top spot three. Of the company because he won the belt in five. Is what I'm going with.
I thought he won the belt in 03.
Nope, he won the belt at WrestleMania 21.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And 20 so was in 2004. Yeah. He started really making waves in the company as first WrestleMania competed at, really, like, with that big...
Yeah, it would have been
U.S.
20,
belt
right?
with Big Show
Yeah,
or
big
what?
U.S. belt. Huh?
Big Show and the U.S. belt?
Yep. Yeah. I thought he made a pretty big wave there.
Yeah, he did.
So am I at four?
Yeah.
Taker.
We threw Taker in ours.
Taker, just because, like, he defined, like, he defined that whole thing. Like, that whole character, like, he just made that thing work for 20-plus years.
That's what's tough is, like, you have, but then you, like, look back and it's, like, Taker and Cena over, like, Austin. But then when you look at Austin's career, like, he was only in there for, like, what, 5 years, 5 or 6 years?
But Austin made more money than anybody else in those 3 years.
Right.
Like, he virtually, the ship was sinking. He threw all the water out and reboarded the thing up and put it back up.
I think we had the same list as you, except for we had Austin instead of Bruno. I don't think we went back that far.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, it's like... It's hard to pick five.
Yeah, because when you start thinking like regional, like Bruno would definitely be a top guy regional, and then you would go like.
And where does like Nature Boy Buddy Roberts fall?
You mean Buddy Rogers?
Buddy Rogers, sorry. Where does somebody like that fall? Where does Gorgeous George fall?
Okay, if you're gonna go guys who defined or redefined the business, then Gorgeous George probably be number one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you go him.
Only guy that comes close is like Hogan, just like redefined an era. He affected the 80s era.
Okay, so George, Hogan. You could really put in...
Austin, for that whole reason.
Honestly...
Austin turned into a brawling company.
People that fucking like...
changed the landscape of the business, period.
Yeah, he did.
People that hate... Or that watch a lot of Lucha, like, I honestly think you could put fucking Ray in there, dude.
You could throw Ray in there, seriously? But if you're going to throw Ray in there, you have to throw, like, El Santo in there. And you have to throw Mil Mascaris in there.
Yeah, I think you probably can get away with putting Mascaris in there.
Yeah.
Over Santo?
Yeah.
Because Santo was, like, the first big star of CML?
He was the first big star to kind of really make it in America.
Okay.
Because he had a very, he had an easy gimmick that everyone can get behind. He was a man of 1,000 masks.
No, El Santo.
El Santo?
El Santo was, like, one of the first big stars in, like, CMLL.
Yeah, but, Mil Mascaris was the guy.
Okay, the guy who made it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was considered
a MSG.
Yeah, he was considered a high flyer by those standards, even though in Mexico he's considered a power guy.
You almost have to do, okay, so...
How can you not throw in, a guy like Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels? Because they defined, the whole... They defeated the whole purpose of, guy bodybuilder.
Exactly.
No, because you can't. Because you have to go back another decade.
To what?
Tiger Mask, Dynamite Kid.
Oh.
Because they were basically setting the pace for that.
Does Tito fall in there, too? Was he that big of a guy?
Tito was a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, Dynamite and Tiger Mask, those two guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Redefined everything.
Yeah.
And they basically killed each other to do it.
Yeah. Definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on top of that, if you're going to do that, what about, some of the family names out there? What about the Guerreros, the Von Erichs, and, the Harts we've talked about? But, some of the patriarchs of those families definitely belong in there, too.
Top five in the business today.
Top five what? Families?
No, top five, in the business. Who's your top five?
Oh, right now. Today? Okada's up there, yeah. Okada. Who's that?
Omega.
Omega's fun. I want to say somebody from England because that's what I've been watching a lot of. I almost want to say Pete Dunne's in there.
Pete Dunne?
Pete
wow.
Dunne. I kind of agree with you on that.
Yeah.
He's
different.
I personally think Pete Dunne is the best, European, whatever guy, UK guy, whatever.
That's saying a lot, man.
I really think, I don't know, I totally agree with that.
I mean, you might get some argument from people saying, Zack Sabre Jr. is.
I want to put Zack Sabre Jr. in our trip, but I forgot about Pete. But Pete Dunne's psychology is fucking off the charts,
well,
dude.
Pete Dunne's, wrestling he's selling better than Sabre Jr.
Yeah, right.
He's wrestling a better style, I think. And he's not wrestling the same as everybody else. He's different.
Yeah. It's a bruiser heavy, but it's also American heavy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an accurate portrayal that they were calling him the modern day Fit Finlay. Because Finlay's different for, his era of Europeans.
Yeah.
So I can go with it.
I think you got to put Styles in there, right? probably, honestly, arguably the best worker in the biggest company in the world, Styles, right?
Because I can argue back that Rollins is.
Get the fuck out of here, Brian Brown. Right
now? Seth Rollins is...
like, better than AJ right now?
I don't know.
Dude?
Like, I can argue it. I can't say that for sure it is.
All right, let's put up the argument, all right? So, Rollins, there's no denying his athleticism. Same with Styles.
The thing is, like, neither one, I don't think, have had a bad match in a long time.
I just think AJ is able to elevate guys, like, ridiculous amounts. Of-
and, like, if I'm going to, like, make a top five workers of, like, today... AJ's in there for sure.
Well,
yeah.
That's what
so
we're
there's
doing.
Yeah. The thing is, I was just arguing back to you saying Seth Rollins. Yeah.
How long another guy can argue? You can argue another guy. Yeah.
So let's lay it out. The argument: Rollins versus Styles. So
probably
both,
amazing match.
Okay. They both. Okay. It's gonna be a good match no matter what.
Yeah.
Both have the athleticism.
Both have the athleticism.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
Creativity. Obviously, they both have creativity. That's the big thing.
Just
doing
like
different things than anybody
else. The craziness of this match. Or, like, the craziness that these two bring out in their matches. Like, just surprises. They can pull things out of nowhere that you weren't expecting, which is what a lot of fans kind of need.
I don't know what it is, but that's my argument against Rollins, is that I feel like when I watch some Rollins matches, like, I'm not left disappointed, but I'm not... Like, when I watch Styles matches, I'm like, holy fuck, that was a good match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when Styles works like Dean Ambrose. Like, it's just a regular fucking... TV match, and I'm like, wow, that was like pay-per-view quality match. When I watch Rollins on TV sometimes, I'm like, I feel like I've seen been there, done that. You know what I mean?
But I mean, like, Raw this last week, Rollins had a match with, what, was it, not Ambrose, with The Miz and Balor. Which are good workers on their own accord, as it is. Like, it, you know, I considered both of them up there, too. But, like, that was a pay-per-view style, or quality match, I thought. Match, yeah.
But you think some of that was maybe Rollins had different dance partners? Because think about it, like, the Miz is probably putting in the best, like, he's been
arguably his best year.
Like, he's been on a tear since probably when he won the belt right before he ended up having that feud before, like, you know, Cena. Like, he's been on
his best feud since he turned face.
Yeah, because
the Miz character himself, like, he's the reason Cena never has to turn heel.
Yeah.
He's exactly what Cena would be as a heel.
And then if you would have went
this
back...
This guy should never be
If you would have went back to ECW when it was Morrison and Miz, and you had to pick which one of those guys was going to make
we
it...
I always picked Morrison. I thought Morrison was going to be the big star just because like he shined star quality.
Yep,
But the second they did the breakup, you knew it was going to be the Miz. Right?
Yeah, like just watching it's like... Because like the Miz was the guy who could talk. Morrison... Because
they put Morrison in that weird babyface spot where he was not comfortable.
Mm-hmm. He's a natural, like, when he's a heel, he can talk. But as a face, like, he's just kind of,
bland.
He's a
really good show-off heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's flashy. It worked really well in ECW. That's why I thought it, because he was the ECW champ with Punk for a while, or against Punk for a while.
Yeah, they had that little feud.
And it was a good feud. Yeah. It was, like, probably, like, the redeeming quality of, like,
ECW.
Yeah, like, because there was some bad stuff that came out of that. And then they just reset it, and then they forgot about it. But what they didn't realize is they were putting on some really good matches, like, in that ECW by that point. Like, Punk and Morrison tore it down.
Yeah, it's like once he got kind of the stink off of, like, that weird,
that
what
December
should have been.
Yeah.
You know, into, like, this is what it's probably going to be now. Like, it changed.
Which, looking back at it, I kind of wonder if they realized, like, we never should have called it ECW.
Yeah, you know what it ended up being coming?
NXT?
Exactly.
It's virtually the same brand.
Same idea.
Like, NXT virtually started at One Night Stand.
Yeah.
10 years ago already? 11?
God, was that?
2006. The second one was 2006.
So 05.
Yeah.
12 years.
Yeah.
Jeez, really? Wow.
That's virtually how old it is. Like, you know, or like at least with the second One Night Stand, it starts really.
Yeah.
That's virtually how old NXT is if you look at it. And like they took a weird break when they did reality TV with it for a while.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah, it didn't work. But it was just something new they were trying at least.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's similar because like when they did the whole ECW TV show, it was a bunch of.
It was the
development guys that were just getting up in the biz. And
but granted, they had packaging. Yeah. I mean, granted, they had FCW. Mm-hmm. So like virtually they had. The minor league after the minor league before you got into the big league. So virtually they're doing like AAA and AA, which kind of worked. And then you had like, it's the same concept. You had a couple veterans in there like Christian.
But I mean, NXT is not even developmental at this point anymore because now they're only allowing guys on NXT TV if they're fucking ready to be on TV. NXT TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're utilizing.
So it's virtually what it was at this point because you have like the house shows are virtually the old FCW shows.
It's like the guys who were basically the jobbers on NXT now would be the main eventers on NXT when it started.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch those early episodes, you have like Ricky Steamboat's son.
Oh, it's so fucking weird.
You know?
He just kind of disappeared.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt.
He got hurt and he was just done.
Yeah. But there's some other guys.
I think he had some big-ass things planned for that kid, actually, at one point. I think he was the old FCW heavyweight champ, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because him and Rollins were kind of feuding when that started up. So. Yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to look back at some of those old NXTs. It's like, I wonder what happened to this guy.
Yeah, even like when NXT did the reality TV thing. The coolest thing that came out of that, especially that first season, was that sympathy you brought up for like Daniel Bryan.
I think I remember reading a report once after the first episode, and like I guess Vince is like, I've made a star. And it was Daniel Bryan.
Really?
He felt like
he knew that early on
because he had that night he had a match with Jericho,
which is a really good match.
Yeah, like you can see like welts forming on Bryan's back from that match because like he took a suicide dive and ran into the announcer's table and kept going. And like the crowd's like eating this guy live at this point.
Yeah, it's on like Brian's like first WWE DVD that came out. It's like one of those $5 ones you get at Kmart.
All right,
and it's such a good match because it told a good story. It's a good TV match for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and like the way they paired him off with like The Miz,
that was a good pairing.
That was probably the best pairing.
Pairing that they had of the whole thing. The only thing that came close was they put like. Was it Vicky with somebody? Like with, what's her face? I can't remember her name. The girl who, she won the title. She was like virtually AJ's.
Caitlyn.
Yeah. They put her with Caitlyn. And Vicky and Caitlyn did not get along. And Vicky's so good at that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out really well there.
I did like the pairing of like Caval with like fucking Lay Cool. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Like, I did that like was that. Pretty good. Yeah. That's but good like, one. No, like the pairing of Brian and Miz.
That's like, if you look back on that whole NXT reality show thing, that's like one of the only pairings that you specifically remember happening.
Well, like the first season, the one you remember too was Wade Barrett and Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you remember that one. And I think a lot of that's just because like so much potential was on Barrett. You know, he was supposed to be like one of the next guys.
Like, he was like the golden boy before coming up.
Yeah.
And then that, obviously, now he's... Wasn't he just on like a...
He's doing movies or something now, isn't he?
No, he made a return movies? Somewhere.
Did he show up in like Impact or something? Or
no, not Impact. No. He showed up... Didn't he show up in England?
Yeah, but I don't remember what the hell
it wasn't
he did.
Progress and it wasn't ICW, I don't think.
I don't even know what his name was.
Hmm.
Stu.
Was it Stu Bennett? His shoot name?
It might have been.
Really?
He didn't work a show, but he ended up bull hammering somebody or clotheslining somebody or some shit. I can't remember what he did, though.
Hmm. Strangeness.
But yeah.
Hmm. Go Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah. What could have been with that guy?
Nowhere near as good of what could have been with Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes
can be.
Cody Rhodes what?
He's still got the chance.
He's still got the chance,
He'll hold a belt at some point.
I think Cody Rhodes is like one of the few guys that can hold Miz heat. Like, he can just walk into a room and just say something. The way he says it will just cause heat. Like, I watched an ROH they had with Steve Corino.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching him just, like, you know, things he said about his dad. It's just like, oh, God, Cody, you're being a dick now.
Here's the thing. I really kind of like Cody being in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And I think they have potential there, especially if they lock him down.
I've heard they're going to.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be... He should be their top heel.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think he's really enjoying what he's doing, too.
Yeah,
like, if you listen to interviews and stuff, doesn't sound like he's ever been happier. You know what I mean?
I don't think he has been ever this happy.
It's hard to imagine him going back then, right? Because it's like, why would he go back after experiencing what he experienced?
Well, I think...
Like, I like what I'm doing now.
Maybe he was probably happy when his dad was there and he wasn't doing the Stardust thing because it didn't sound like he was too happy with the Stardust thing.
Well, like, probably at first he was... cool with it.
Yeah.
But after a while, like, you get typecast, and where do you go after Stardust?
Well, I think, like, on top of that, like, the writers just didn't have anything for Stardust ever, and he's just like, you know, I know what I can do. I know who I am.
I thought it was one point where it's like, he wasn't sick of doing Stardust, but he was like, either you guys, like, go all in on Stardust or go all in on Cody, but, like, I want to do something, and they're like,
They just kept giving him shit. So he's like, all right, see you, I'm out.
All right, I'm just going to go reinvent Cody Rhodes for you for a while, and then you can call me up when I'm ready.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, isn't that just crazy?
Yeah.
Now if he goes back, he's like a mega star. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the same thing that happened with, you know, Drew Galloway.
Yeah.
You know? He comes back and all of a sudden he's like...
Yeah, he's like a jobber 3MB and now he's like the... Like,
now he's Drew McIntyre, the chosen one again.
Yeah, now he'll probably be an NXT champ in like 6 months or some shit. And...
Yeah. Which is fine. He's a good worker. He always has been. It's just like he kind of... He fell off somewhere in there with the chosen one gimmick and then became three-man band member Drew McIntyre.
Think sometimes with WWE, giving a guy a gimmick that he can't get over is like the kiss of death.
It's not even like that he can't get over. It's just like I think like they give him these gimmicks or like they get gimmicks and like there's no like straight or there's not even like a path that leads anywhere with it after a while. It's just like we're just going to keep having you do this and do this and do this, but we don't have an out for you and we're not going to give you an out.
Right.
For this, and we're just gonna keep doing this, and like you're just not gonna get anything out of it.
Plus, you're stuck having, you know, you can't progress as a wrestler because you're stuck having fucking 5 minute matches on TV.
Yeah, that's the thing. You, like, you get 5 minute matches, or not even on TV after a while.
But then you're Drew Galloway, and you go work the Indies and TNA, and now you're getting 20 minutes to do matches, and you're getting to reinvent your character, and
or you're Jinder Mahal, and you get released in the same gimmick as Drew McIntyre. You go away for a couple years, you come back with the same gimmick you had originally before that. And you just keep working, and like you don't have the best match. Or, like, you have decent matches, but you don't get the best spots for a long time. But you keep working, keeping your head down. And eventually, like, the brass upstairs says, this guy's been doing a lot for us. We're going to bring him up and reward him.
Isn't it crazy to say that I kind of want to see Jinder Mahal as the champ?
No. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. It's right now, it's definitely something different.
Yeah.
And it almost makes sense if he does win the belt and you start really kind of, like, painting by the numbers. You know, it's like... Orton's the perfect guy for him to beat in that situation.
Yeah, right.
Because if it would have been Bray Wyatt...
Right.
They wouldn't have cared as much.
No one would have cared. But if it's going to be Randy Orton, it's kind of very much like a standard bearer. He's like a big name.
He's like a vet that's putting over a kid. And it's
because,
not
like,
it's not hurting Randy in the long run because it's fucking Randy Orton.
Because like, even if you went to... Okay, what if like Styles never lost the belt to Wyatt? Like, if Styles would lose to Jinder Mahal... Put Jinder Mahal in that spot.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the only two guys who are safe basically to job that belt off to Jinder Mahal are Randy Orton and John Cena.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now I feel like he's going to get RKO'd and he's going to be relegated to jobber duties again after
fucking really
Backlash.
I don't think so at this point. Like, if you have a guy hit your main event, you can't really let him drop all the way down again, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eventually, obviously. That's what happened with Jack Swagger. Like, that dude was a world champion.
Or Rusev.
I don't think Rusev's hit the bottom yet. I think Rusev's on the way back up.
He's near the bottom.
Rusev has put out a statement to Daniel Bryan
saying,
I
saw that, yeah.
I'm not coming back
until
I get championship
belt. But he was near the bottom
belt.
For a little while there.
Yeah.
He was close.
He's close.
But
yeah.
he's bouncing
he should
back.
Be a fucking world champ, is
yeah.
what he should be.
Yeah.
He's fucking
he is one of my favorites.
Phenomenal. Yeah,
yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I told Jesse that.
Mm-hmm. People, that's great.
On this podcast, I said he was my favorite switchover because he needed it and because he should be a fucking champ.
I have, like, least favorite switchovers.
All right, who's your least favorites?
The Miz. I thought there was still some work to be done with him and Daniel Bryan.
And because he can't be in the world title picture while Brock Lesnar's holding the belt. He can't be.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, Sami Zayn, because I thought
really?
That the thing between him and Stephanie McMahon was not done.
Mm.
So I feel like it's just kind of like, why pull those guys away from their general managers who they have heat with?
Mm.
But I think the writing was kind of on the wall with what they wanted to do with Sami and move him. Like,
yeah.
That was basically since... September, it felt like, you know, they wanted to move him off Raw because either they thought they made a mistake because he got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
He got lost in the shuffle so
on
bad.
On SmackDown, he feels like a main event guy.
Yeah.
Which is why
Raw,
they moved him.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be kind of funny to just watch, like, on SmackDown now after what happened on Raw, watch Sammy kind of elevate to the top and then watch Kevin Owens just kind of falter off? Wouldn't that be just, like, interesting? And then, like, you never pull those guys off the same show. They're always on the same show. So... Like,
well, I don't know, because like with Owens getting that big victory again over Jericho,
he's not
like,
falling off.
He's
obviously,
not falling off.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, it'd be kind of hilarious if that's what always happens. Like whenever they switch shows, like Raw is Owens' show, but SmackDown is Sami Zayn's show.
Now think about this. All right,
Oh, just if, it'd be funny.
Okay, so armchair booking here. What if one of the end games for this whole Jinder Mahal thing is, right? If he wins the world belt, like, you think, like, him and Owens at some point?
Why Owens?
Okay, because Owens right now currently is the face of America.
Yep.
All right?
I don't think he's turning face.
I don't think he's turning face, but...
I don't think Jinder is.
Hear me out on this one, though. I think the crowd would get behind Owens if he kept the same gimmick going against a guy like Jinder Mahal.
They probably would.
And he would be over like gangbusters.
But then they would turn on him immediately against the next opponent. Especially if it's a guy like Jericho or Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when the... Owens gets cheered no matter what.
Exactly.
Unless,
he's got his built-in fan base and yeah. doing merch no matter what.
Yeah, unless, you know, he's going against Chris Jericho, which it seems like at the last pay-per-view, I didn't hear too many cheers for him when, you know, he was coming out and Jericho was already out there, which I was really surprised about, which I was very happy about. I'm like, okay, this crowd is just...
They like Jericho, but Owens is also admittedly doing a good job being a heel.
Yeah, but it's like this crowd's actually emulated completely into what they're trying to sell them.
Yep.
But that's Jericho for you. He knows what he's doing going all the way back to this.
Can you guys imagine still paying $60 for pay-per-view and in 6 months paying $60 for Sami Zayn versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Heavyweight Championship?
No,
because I couldn't, as it was, I can't even imagine doing one pay-per-view a year for that price.
Dude. Yeah, I know, right?
Granted, I pay more now than one pay-per-view a month. Or one pay-per-view a year.
Well, yeah, now you're paying fucking, what is
$120
that?
$120 a year,
but still, though, I mean...
And if you think about it, how much did I used to spend on wrestling DVDs?
I still want to get New Japan World, but I won't until they make an app.
That's going to be one of the next things coming out for those guys.
Like, I hold off on buying those things until they get a Roku app. Because that's how I watch on my TV.
I watch it on my phone.
Well, it's an app no matter what.
Yeah. Well, Roku's one of the last ones to come out because, like, it's one of the most popular ones. So they want to make sure they get it right before they put it out. Yeah. Okay. But I guess, like, the Progress one's on Roku.
Is it
I just
really?
Found out the other day, and I have it, apparently. I didn't realize it, but I have it.
That's exciting.
So.
Well, way to go, man.
Yeah.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far, as you can see. Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And, looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling T-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new T-shirt.
Thanks, pro wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners. This is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. and that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts, and that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Ruden, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
All right, cool. So with New Japan, they got the big show coming up here on June the 11th, so Okada Omega 2.
Is that what they're booking?
That's what they're booking.
Yeah?
Is this where you put the strap on Omega going into America the following month?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Omega needs to hold the belt. Going into I don't know. Because you go into America, you can then showcase that foreign talent to, because you guys heard, right? They sold those shows out within hours.
Hours.
You know what I mean?
It was
they have a presence
within minutes or hours.
They have a presence in the States. It's not like they have nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know how important that is, because originally when they first announced it, or when you first heard about it like a year ago, you thought Omega was going to win the belt at Wrestle Kingdom for that specific reason.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, hearing that they're going to sell tickets out, they sold tickets out in a matter of, like, you know, an hour or whatever, it's like, I don't know, maybe.
But
Okada's hotter than Omega right now, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it doesn't seem kind of weird, though, that they're doing the rematch right before.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the big
thing. Yeah, it's
that's
like,
almost like, you know, seeing their hand.
A little bit, because like you wouldn't announce the match for America, you know.
Yeah.
Number one, number two, it's like you're giving away the Wrestle Kingdom rematch. Like, when's the last time the Wrestle Kingdom rematch was that soon?
Do you almost feel like they should be booking that Wrestle Kingdom rematch for the America show? Because if you're already sold out, it's not like you're trying to sell more tickets by having Omega as the champ.
Yeah.
You want to sell.
Well, I mean,
have they announced a fucking pay per view by?
Well, from what it sounds like. Ross is really kind of pushing Access to do both nights live.
Right.
You know?
So then, I mean, that to me, that makes more sense of pushing that match during that mini tour, because then you're going to sell more of that for the rematch of Wrestle Kingdom and the possibility of Okada losing the belt to Omega.
Yeah.
Because if Okada were to lose the belt, I don't see that translating to more, you know, app buys or TV buys or whatever.
Well, I think it's just kind of like, okay, think about this, all right? So Okada loses the belt. Omega is your English-speaking guy doing the press tours.
That's true.
For America.
Yeah, that's true.
Makes sense.
Week. You know, that makes sense.
He comes
spot.
Back to Japan, and if you don't want him to hold the belt anymore, which I doubt, he's a good worker.
He'll probably
want him.
Kingdom.
Yeah, you would probably want him to.
They're already kind of positioning Naito out of the Intercontinental title scene. You know? So they might want to kind of maybe Naito Omega somewhere around, like, September, maybe sometime after the G1. You know?
Makes sense.
Because, like, you could have Okada, like, you take the belt off him, you can almost, like, you can circle him in as, like, one of the block winners for the G1.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
You know?
I'll go with it. Yeah. Admittedly, I don't know my Japanese wrestling as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't, I know, like, Okada, I know Omega, I don't know this guy as much.
What, Naito?
I don't know Naito as much.
He's hot.
Yeah.
His whole gimmick he's got with, what is it, Los Ingobernables, Japan?
Okay.
Like, it's spit in the face of authority type of thing, tinged with a little bit of, like, Latin horror. It's really good. It's good stuff, you know?
And then just his in-ring work, he's probably, like, right behind Okada.
Like,
really?
If you haven't seen his
which
match against Tanahashi from Wrestle Kingdom's past year.
Like, if you made it like a top 10 list, he's probably top 10.
Yeah.
Workers in world?
Like, the world, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I never would have put him on that list, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You didn't know who he was, really, 5 years ago?
No, I knew who he was five years ago. It was just, like, he was kind of a very bland, baby face, lucha style Japanese guy. And okay. Like, it didn't click with me. Mm. But like his heel work puts it in that category.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So check him out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would argue that his match with Tanahashi was. I mean, some people said that shit was better than Okada Omega. Some people actually, you know.
Like, on a pure wrestling base, it probably was. But, like, the spectacle of Okada Omega, which was just balls to the fucking wall, you know.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
True, true. I don't know. So what are you looking forward to in the next, like, 6 months, man? Like,
honestly, like, one of the things I'm looking forward to in wrestling, that women's tournament.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. I want to see who gets announced for it.
I don't want to interrupt you, but everybody's talking about now how they are possibly going to make a women's show. Cool. I think that's a bad idea. You think it's a good idea?
I think it'd be cool.
I just don't know, man. It's just like...
I mean, like, how are they going to do it?
I personally feel like 205 Live is already struggling. And people keep saying that the women's show... It depends on how they do it. Because we've talked about it before. Like, if you did 205 Live at full sale, I'd be all for it. But you want them... You want them touring. So it's like, if they did a women's show, I don't know, that's just what WWE wants. But if you want to do a women's show, like if you booked it only at like Full Sail or something, like in one location, I'd be okay with it. But if you had it working after Raw or before Raw or something, then I think it's a bad idea.
I mean, like with the way their network is set up, there's no reason they can't have like live something like going on every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? You know, it's not going to hurt their product.
Okay, but like the big difference between like doing like a standalone show for the women, it's like you already have on the main roster two women's belts.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering about.
So which one
too much or what?
Which one do you showcase?
Or do you just do like a develop? Or do you just move like maybe the NXT women's belt in instead? But you can't do that because that thing's established in NXT.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just do like kind of a mid card type of belt,
or do you do a secondary NXT program?
That's what I'm wondering.
Towards the women.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions on what you do here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for the women's tournament, but, like, yeah, the thing I keep hearing is a women's show, and it's just, like, I feel like they're already struggling hard enough to get to have enough women for Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. So, like, how do you do an entire show based on that?
I mean, well, it's, like, the reason why they did the UK tournament is to set up that UK show that they've been talking about for at least 9 months now.
Yeah, and is there any progress on that?
It's still probably just baby steps because they're getting these guys out on the road and they're using these guys as much as they can. But I don't think it's going to be one of those things until either they get a TV deal in the UK. Because think about this, right?
Yeah,
it's like
it's
great to have it on the network, but I think they need a TV presence in the UK with these guys.
And so they're shopping it around virtually.
Because well, like, when's the last time we saw the UK Championship? In WWE.
NXT in 2 weeks. Last week.
Oh, was it last week?
Against Jack Gallagher.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Which was a good match. I liked it.
Yeah, because even like, not even like 3 weeks before that, Bate had another match.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
He's not keeping up with NXT, I guess.
Because he had a match before that takeover for the UK title.
Did he?
He took on... He took on Trent Seven.
Yeah, Trent Seven. Yeah. That was pretty good, I thought.
It was a good match.
Yeah. And then, like, Dunn's been making a couple appearances in there, too. And I think Mark Andrews has as well.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang.
Yeah, they've been doing, like, little spots here and there on NXT. Yeah. I mean, did they do anything on 205 Live? I mean.
Some of those guys obviously aren't going to.
I think Dunn would because he's under.
He's under 205.
Yeah, he's in the weight class.
He might be at 205 even.
Yeah.
But he's at that weight. But, like, Wolfgang's not going to show up on there.
No.
I don't even know if. Seven or Bate really fit into
Bate
the cruiserweight.
Does
he?
Well, because he's like 5'7".
Dude. Yeah, but he is jacked.
He's under 200 pounds.
Okay.
He's like Neville jacked. He's short, but he's jacked.
He dwarfed Gallagher.
Man, you know one
guy. Gallagher's tiny.
Yeah. You know one guy who really should be on 205 Live, but he's too bulky right now?
Who's that?
Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably under 205, isn't
he? No, he's probably legit. They're billing it like... 225, 230, something like that. Yeah, because I think last time he was on TV, it was like 240, and you're like, dude, no fucking way, number one. Number two, you're like, well, this guy's got to lose a 40 pounds.
Would Kalisto and Sin Cara gain from being on that show?
Kalisto, yes. Sin Cara, no.
Sin Cara's still going to be a jobber no matter where he works.
Yeah, Kalisto would actually benefit tremendously. Yeah.
I mean, Kalisto versus Neville would probably actually be fun.
They should reestablish Kalisto. once he got dumped in that trash bin, right?
He lived there.
But you know what? They push him out, right? And they give him the old Rey Mysterio launch.
Out of the garbage can?
Out of the trash can. And he's just like this crazy homeless Mexican luchador.
Is he going to be like, remember that 80s cartoon? Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Would he be like the Toxic Avenger, like all the ooze mutated him that was from the garbage?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Is that like the arch nemesis of Captain Planet?
The Toxic Crusader?
No, yeah. It sounds like it. He was out to save the planet as well, but he was made out of garbage, so.
Yeah, he was kind
of
like
He was made out of garbage?
He was a teen. He was just like a teen who actually got like morphed by this toxic ooze and became ugly as fuck. But he still had like this crazy
sex drive. He was completely okay with it. I was watching.
Literally a garbage man.
Yeah. I was watching it the other day. It was on like Pluto TV. Like it's a free app.
Right.
Okay.
Like you can watch like on your computer or on your Roku, whatever. Mm. Like it was on there, and like because it's like a cable channel of like free internet TV.
Right.
And apparently somebody has the rights to that, and they just put it on there. And,
yeah, because it's from like Trauma Films.
Yeah.
Like, really terrible film studio.
Oh no! Like there was a cartoon, an 80s cartoon. Okay, yeah.
The cartoon was from 80s like cartoon 89, was playing. 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was around the same time they're doing the Swamp Thing TV show.
That one hasn't made it on there yet. I've also seen Archie's like haunted school.
Oh, that's pretty bad too.
Yeah, yeah, that one's in there, and there's just like the Mario Brothers cartoons are in there. They're pretty god awful. Yeah.
Oh, the one with Captain Lou Albano.
That both all of them.
Okay.
All of them are in there. Like Captain Lou Albano ones in there. Just all of it.
What about like the Sonic the Hedgehog ones?
That is not, but The Legend of Zelda is.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Where Zelda sounds like he's a surfer.
He's Link.
Link. So Link's like, hey, Zelda.
It's like, yeah, it's like 12 in the morning, dude. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
It is late. It is late right now. Yeah. We've been talking for an hour, so we should probably end this. Because we've been talking wrestling for like 3 hours. So Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk for upcoming shows. Also Twitter @TheGrappleTalk. Ryan Brown, what's your handle?
Ryan Brown 5001. I don't remember.
Nice.
I think that's it. Yeah.
That's it too. That sounds familiar.
Is that or is that Brownie 5001? One of the two. I think it's Ryan Brown. Yeah.
Ryan Brown. Why 5001?
I just thought Andre 3000 was funny about it one day, or 3001, or somebody like I saw somebody do something like that, so I just thought it was funny and just kept doing it.
So it's like you just actually one up to him.
No. So what happens? I tried to do it with 5000 when I got my Xbox Live tag years ago. But somebody already taken Milhouse 5000. So I'm like, well, screw this. I'm going to be 5001.
But you never switched your name to, like, Milhouse. It was Ryan
Well,
Brown.
Like, on that I did. So, like, anytime I do, like, a handle now for my
number. Like, 5001's your thing.
Yeah, I'm 5001. That's what I always do for a thing now.
Ryan Brown 5001.
What's your prediction for the year 5001?
Peace, love, wrestling.
There you have it.
I think the world's going to be blown up. Personally,
yeah. Well, hopefully
we'll be living
on
like in our galaxy or something.
Hopefully by Pentagon.
Wow.
Yeah. Hopefully he did it.
The wrestler.
Yes.
Nice.
I don't know. It just seems like a funny thing for him to do. Right. Actually, well, Rey Mysterio.
I gotta wake up. We're going garage sale shopping at 8 a.m.
Oh, jeez, man.
So I gotta wake up in like fucking 6.5 hours.
Yeah. I plan on going to see Johnny Smash's football game tomorrow. So hey, Johnny, if you're listening later. I plan on watching the Dallas today.
Cool, man.
So. Nice. Johnny Smash totally does not listen to the Grapple Talk.
Actually, I think he does.
Does he really? I'm pretty sure he does. Nice.
So,
hey, Johnny Smash.
So if you're driving right now, Johnny, and you hear this, just yell fuck yeah out your car window.
Remember when I managed you, Johnny Smash, and then like your neck was broken or whatever happened? That happened.
His neck broke on your watch?
No. It happened. I wasn't around when it happened.
All right, cool.
But he did wrestle the cat, Capernicus.
Yeah, well, fuck that cat.
Yeah,
fuck that cat.
So anyhow, yeah, like next week on the show, we're gonna have Josh Callisto and Red Lightning on.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
we're gonna do that. We're gonna interview Josh Callisto and Red Lightning about their upcoming show on the 20th of May.
Yeah, it's what Showtime Pro Wrestling.
Showtime Pro Wrestling in Eau Claire. Proceeds are benefiting something good, but I don't remember what.
Yeah, I think it's a
Special Olympics.
Special Olympics. Nice. Yes,
got it. Sweet. So stick around for that. Next week, these episodes are going to drop probably around the same time because AC Riley sucks at editing and that's just how he does things.
Yeah, but the cool thing is now we're not under a data limit, so...
That's right.
What?
Yeah.
We can put out as many episodes we want in a week. We can do a Monday through Friday showcase.
Yeah, we could.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. We're not going to drop daily shows.
Yeah.
No. Should we add a second show to the channel?
The Ryan Brown Effect?
Only if we can talk about how much AC Riley taught or sucks in every single show.
Yeah, you already ruined it. We're done.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You missed the joke.
All right. Well, we're done. So, see you.
Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Grappletalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I think I just had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.